You're listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. Masks are a proven and effective tool in fighting the spread of COVID-19, but some people still resist wearing them. Just last week, Governor Tony Evers extended the statewide mask mandate until November 21st, as Wisconsin's cases of coronavirus continue to rise. Until recently, mask wearing hasn't been studied in the U.S., but a new study out of Marquette University breaks down the demographics of mask wearers and resistors, and how mandates impact behavior. Marquette students observed shoppers entering retail stores in several Wisconsin counties throughout the summer to see how gender, age, and location factor into mask wearing. For this month's Fit for You, Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski goes through these findings with two of the study's authors, Dr. Sandra Hunter and Mike Heischer of Marquette University. Heischer begins by explaining why they decided to conduct the study.
This came about just from a natural conversation that I was having with Dr. Hunter, and we were kind of talking about masking as a kind of cost-effective protective measure that you could take to slow the spread of the virus. And I was just kind of upset that I wasn't seeing very many people in my area wearing masks. And so I said, most people are not wearing masks. And the great scientist that she is said, where's your evidence for that? And so from that conversation, we just kind of decided, you know, nobody is really studying mask wearing observationally. I mean, you can send out survey data all you want, but self-reported measures are not always reliable. And so we just decided to gather some students that were looking for some work to do and go out into the community and observe mask wearing.
So what was your original hypothesis that you went out into the community with?
Well, there had been some data that had come through from different avenues showing that people were reporting that women were wearing masks more than men, and that older people may be wearing masks more than young people, and that they're certainly at higher risk. And so we sort of thought, well, let's go back and see if there are age differences, if there are differences between males and females. And also let's take advantage of the fact that the students at the time, and this was in late May, were spread out throughout the regional area around Milwaukee because a lot of them were at home doing their studies, and summer was just beginning. And so some of them were out in the country. So we said, let's look at location as well, urban areas, suburban, and as well as rural. So Mike was noticing that in his, where he was living, which was a little bit more rural, that not many people were wearing masks. Where I'm in more suburbia, I was seeing that probably it was about 50-50, that's what I thought. And other people who were living more urban were noticing that there was some mask wearing going on, certainly not at the rates that we'd like for complete elimination of COVID-19, but at high enough rates. And so there's a discrepancy. So that's where it came about. Also at the time, Mike was writing a blog, a student commentary, which was part of a bigger initiative that we had at Marquette around COVID-19. And we called it the COVID-19 Research Initiative. And one of the parts of that was we pivoted to sort of allow students to have a voice in this void of lack of research, and said, okay, well, let's see if they can write commentaries around COVID-19 that can inform themselves and inform us at Marquette and the public about some of the rapidly changing economics and activity levels and some of the impact of the COVID-19 that was occurring. So that's where Mike started this in terms of writing a blog about mask wearing. And then that's where he came out with his famous saying that no one is wearing a mask.
So let's go through the demographics that you collected from doing these observations. So overall, who tends to wear masks more and who wears them less?
So females, we found, were significantly more likely to be observed wearing a mask. They're about 1.5 times more likely than males to wear a mask, which is particularly concerning because we have evidence that men are at greater risk for more severe outcomes from COVID-19. There was one study where actually 60% of the hospitalized patients were males. And so it's interesting that females are more likely to wear a mask. You know, maybe this is related to them taking more care of the caregiving responsibilities within the household. There's also been evidence that females are more likely to engage in non-pharmaceutical protective behaviors during pandemics and epidemics. So really interesting that we saw this significant difference between males and females, especially, like I said, because males are at greater risk for severe outcomes.
Let me ask, as a man, Mike, do you have any other inklings as to why this would be?
I think, you know, one of the things is just that masks are not viewed as masculine by a lot of men. And so I think, honestly, just designing masks to look more masculine may be effective. I mean, you see males all the time during hunting season wearing masks and on their snowmobiles with their snowmobile helmets. And so, you know, maybe if we can design them to be a little bit more, you know, fashionably masculine, maybe that would help increase wearing among males. But I don't have a problem with it. You won't see me with that one on.
It's really interesting because I was in a store, this is early on in the pandemic, and was wearing a mask, and an older gentleman came up to me and I'd accidentally taken off with his shopping cart. And then he sort of motioned to me, oh, that's mine. And he came up to me and he wasn't wearing a mask and I was sort of backing away. I was. And he said, oh, I imagine you're embarrassed about wearing that mask. I'm just like, no, I'm not. I think that's transference going on here. I think he was embarrassed about wearing a mask, which is why he wasn't, but he was transferring his opinions onto me. It was really interesting. Yeah, it was very, very interesting.
Well, yeah, and this study comes at a time, you mentioned, Sandra, it's very ad hoc the way the U.S. has tried to enforce masks and, you know, have left it to states or regions or other things. And there hasn't been no federally mandated mask as other countries have done. But it's also a climate where people can get not just verbally confronted, but physically harmed in their resistance of wearing a mask. So, it's interesting. You don't really see other countries reporting these very strong reactions to being asked to wear a mask.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's been very much politicized and there's a lot of tension around that. So I think if we have leadership that and we have a unified front, then I think a lot of this tension would go away. But it's just unfortunate that the time we're in and the leadership that we have, that it's exacerbating any real tensions that people have and beliefs that they have. But if you see that everyone's falling into line, then it just becomes the norm. And there's social pressures around this. When someone isn't wearing a mask and you're meeting them, but you are, and you're having a meeting with them, it already creates a barrier there that we're on different sides of the equation here in terms of the way that we perceive the world and how my safety versus your safety. And so it just creates tension that is unfortunate.
So you mentioned looking at urban versus suburban and rural mask wearing rates. So does the rates differ between counties with low and high numbers of cases or deaths? Because if you're out in rural Wisconsin, population is smaller, maybe you're not seeing the effects of the pandemic quite as much as, say, we are here in the city of Milwaukee. Did you find any numbers that kind of correlated with this?
Well, certainly we found that people in rural areas were wearing masks at less than half the rate as suburban and urban. And the suburban and urban areas were very similar, which I found a little bit surprising. I thought maybe in the suburban areas that they are maybe different, they may be less, but they were very similar. The rural areas are really interesting, and that's what Mike was seeing when he first made these observations, which really started the study around no one's wearing a mask. But the interesting thing is that when you go into a store, you know, it's the same sort of density in terms of shopping, yet people aren't transferring that way of thinking that, oh, now I'm going into a more populated area, I should be wearing a mask. They're just you know, trundling in and taking their beliefs in there and not wearing a mask.
So the evidence suggests, based on survey data, that the case and death rates within a county don't significantly impact the rate of mask wearing. But the differences that we saw between suburban and urban areas versus rural areas are concerning, because a lot of times rural residents have to travel further for medical care. And so they may be at higher risk for more severe outcomes if, you know, they're an hour away from the nearest hospital, for example. In addition to that, if you look at sociological data, populations that live in rural areas are more susceptible to COVID-19. You have a lot of older individuals living in rural areas, more individuals with comorbidities potentially living in those areas as well. So even though we're seeing, you know, significantly lower rates of mask wearing in those areas without mandates, just like with the males, you know, the populations that live in those areas might be at higher risk. So again, concerning.
Through the course of this study, you were able to observe people pre-statewide mandate and after it was implemented. So what did your observations tell you about the either necessity or effectiveness of statewide mandates?
Yeah, so we're able to do a second round of observations. So that first round of observations were in early June, where there were no mandates. And we found that overall 41% of people were wearing masks. So when the mandates, when we came around and did the second round of testing or observations, we didn't actually know that the state were going to put mandates in place. We just thought, well, let's look at what's happening with the in-store mandates. I think Milwaukee had, the urban areas did have a mandate at that stage. So we thought, well, let's just look at the mandates. And at the time, we started about a week before the state mandate came into play. And then, boom, the state mandate came into place. And so we then were able to get to compare, well, what happens when the whole state goes under a mandate, which was just fantastic. The timing was very fortunate. And what we found is that certainly if you were in an area where there wasn't a store mandate in place, certainly the rates of mask wearing had gone up to about 80%. And that's when there wasn't a store mandate, and that's when there wasn't a mandate in that area. So people were certainly becoming more aware, and this was certainly accompanied by the increase in the rates of COVID-19. So I think there was just a general awareness. However, I went back to one store the day after the state mandate had gone into place, and it went from 80% up to 98%. So people certainly did fall into line even the day after. So there was this rapid increase, although there had been an awareness that mask wearing is probably a good idea, even if I'm not told that I have to. But there were still the holdouts. I call them the holdouts. And believe it or not, even when the state mandate came into place, there were people who would walk into the store boldly without a mask. It was like, not many, but there was the occasional person. And I just found that stunning.
So currently, you're among the first to really tackle these kind of observational studies. And, you know, there's no peer-reviewed and direct observational studies of mask wearing for comparison right now. So how do you hope tracking this information and being some of the first to quantify, you know, what people are wondering and thinking about the rates of mask wearing, how do you think this will help not just the public, but even public health officials, or potentially shaping how we continue to move forward in this pandemic?
So we are one of the first, and I've noticed some other studies have come out from other states. Now they're starting to emerge, and we're being asked to review some of those studies now because there just aren't any out there. I mean, certainly there's polls, but polls are self-reported and people will always tell you what they think you want to hear. So we're hoping that this shows that mandates certainly make a difference, particularly having data before and after the mandates, that we need rates of at least 80 to 90% to quell the spread of the disease. And when people are just left to their own devices, certainly we saw first like about 40%, and that's just not adequate. So we're hoping that now that I think there's 35 states that have mask mandates in place. Correct me if I'm wrong, that was a couple of weeks ago. And so there's still these holdout states that allow people to make their own decisions and their own choices around that. And clearly, while the majority of people feel, you know, some sort of social responsibility, there's certainly the resistors who won't. And so I think this data sort of really backs up the idea that you really need mask mandates to protect each other and to protect the health of the public.
And Mike, how has it been for you to start this with a broad statement, you know, that then Dr. Hunter, you know, challenges you on with some with some facts and data to see it come to fruition and to, you know, have a finished study out of that?
It's been really exciting to be a part of. I think it's, you know, been a really valuable experience for the undergraduate students as well. I mean, just being involved in research at that stage kind of helps you see the big picture in terms of what science is all about. I think that there's a really good chance that we, you know, we could make an impact with this type of research. I mean, even though it would be extremely helpful for the CDC to acknowledge that airborne transmission of the virus is happening, it's still happening. I mean, scientists since February and March, like Jose Luis Jimenez and Lindsay Marr and Kim Prather and Don Milton, have all been pushing this airborne transmission. And so for that reason, you know, mask wearing is critically important. And so, you know, through this research, we've showed that mandates are necessary to promote the practice, and the practice is necessary to slow the spread. And so, yeah, it's been great to be a part of this project, and I'm looking forward to seeing the impact of it in the future.
One of the other positives that have come from this is, you know, at Marquette, we were in this stage where there was very little research going on when we first started this study, and we're able to pivot and just say, okay, well, let's turn this to a research opportunity. And the students just loved it. And like Mike was saying, they were able to see a study go from a question to a finished product. And it was because of the pandemic that this was possible, because we had the time and the opportunity to do it. And it's just been an extremely valuable experience for the students involved in the research.
Well, Dr. Sandra Hunter and Mike Heischer, thank you both for your work and for speaking to me about it today.
Thanks so much, Audrey. It's been such a pleasure.
Thanks, Audrey. A lot of fun.
Dr. Sandra Hunter is a professor at Marquette University and the director of the Athletic and Human Performance Research Center. Mike Heischer is the lab manager at the research center and a PhD student in exercise and rehabilitation science. Both were involved in a recent study of the demographics and rates of mask wearing in southeastern Wisconsin. They spoke with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski for this month's Fit for You. And you can explore some of our past segments at wuwm.com.